Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to try to preach this morning and give it a shot. I'll do my best and try not to cough, spit, and throw stuff all over you, but try to get through it without passing out. But if you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to go to a couple places this morning. If you will go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, we're going to begin there and then move to a couple of different passages of Scripture that I want to read to you and walk you through this morning. Nothing is greater than the blessing of God in our life. And God has given us great favor. As I began thinking about going into this new year in 2017, and in March this church will be 4 years old. And we can literally say God has been good to us. The blessing of God has been upon this church. But not only just the blessing of God, but I feel like the favor of God has been on this church. God has been able for us to do things that a lot of churches, as young as we are, have not been able to do. God has allowed us to have people here to minister to you that normally would not come to churches that are our size. But God's opened the door for that to happen. God has created relationships for us with people that have been a blessing to us as a church and a congregation and to our staff and leadership. And so, as we go into 2017, the blessing of God is a powerful thing. But nothing's more shocking, takes a more shocking form than when your blessing, that the blessing from God begins to change. And nothing's more shocking when we take the blessing of God and we don't properly use it the way that God gives it and what He intends it for. But I want you to see something in Scripture this morning for just a few minutes, if you will. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, I want to read beginning verse 21 to you. I want to show you a prophecy that God gave the children of Israel. And this is an interesting passage. I don't know if I've ever preached on this or even seen this before, but it's an interesting word. Verse 21, it says, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed." How many know when God sends you, you don't go empty-handed? How many know that when God creates destiny for you, you don't go empty-handed? When God calls you to something, you don't go empty-handed. God always allows His blessing to be with you. Verse 22, it says, "And every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians." What God said, that when I call you out, I'm getting ready to call you out of Egypt. And God says that when you go, I want you to go to the Egyptians. I want you to go to your neighbor. I want you to go to those who have used you as slaves the past 400 years. And I want you to go to your neighbor and I want you to knock on their door. And I want you to ask them for their silver and for their gold and for their remnants. And I want you to take their gold as a spoil as you plunder the Egyptians. That word is an interesting word because it is a word that we see used many times in battle. When a victory has been won, it's what the victor does to the enemy. They plunder the enemy's camp. But here, God, before they've been called out to go, He says, when the last plague is done, I want you to enter into the house of the Egyptians, those who have kept you in bondage, those who have used you as slaves, those who have put limitation on you, those who have kept you from moving forward and kept you from the blessing of God. I want you to go and listen. It says, He didn't say go with a sword, right? He didn't say go and I want you to beat them up. I want you to burn their house down. He said, when you go in, I want you to ask them for their silver and for their gold and for their remnants. It's an interesting thing. Because the favor of God, it said, and the favor of God was on the children of Israel, that when they had asked for it, they turned it over. See, the Spirit of God gives us a believer, I believe, an authority. There is an authority that we can have. When the favor and blessing of God is on a people, or on a people, they can ask God anything. And when they ask, God can give it to them because He knows they're asking in accordance with the destiny that is on their life. Here's my definition of favor. Favor is when God gives special attention and affection upon His people. When He gets people to cooperate with you who normally would not cooperate with you. Favor is when you come in contact with people who are not normally part of your world, but they find a cooperation with you. Favor can come in many different ways. Favor in the Bible can come through different relationships that people have had with God. Favor is about relationships. Many of us, I'm sure many of you have the testimony of how the favor of God has worked in your life. How God brought people into your life that you normally would not have contact with, but because He brought them into your life, there was something that God used in their life to help bring a blessing to you. You found favor in their life. I think about over the history of this church, and I think of the favor that God has given us many times. We found favor when we were looking for this property. God gave us favor. We found favor when we were looking for the finances to finance this property and build this church. God gave us favor. We found favor when we began to build and do outreach. And we would go in the community and walk through certain doors, and God would open those doors for us, and we would find favor. And it's because when you have relationship with God, there's the blessing of God that God puts in your hands. And really, I believe in 2017, I'm just believing God that whatever God tells us to do, we're not going to have to run and jump, and we're just going to have to be like the children of Israel and just ask God. Just ask and God will open the door for us. Just ask God and breakthrough's going to come. Just ask God and call out to Him. And if you're living under blessing and favor, the door will open up for you. Because that's what favor does. It opens the door for God to move in a way in your life that normally you would not move in, or normally would not be able to move in. If you turn to Exodus chapter 12, just a few chapters over, when they were going out, I may have got it over ahead of myself a minute, but if you'll look at chapter 12, beginning in verses 35 and 36, this is what it said. This is when they were leaving. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians their articles of silver and gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. That's their enemy, folks. And God changed the enemy's mind. Listen, I believe God can give you favor even when you're standing in front of the enemy. Even when there's a resistance to your life, I believe God can give you favor with people you never would ever have favor with. And it said He gave them favor with the Egyptians and granted them what they had requested. God answered their prayer. They didn't have to fight. They didn't have to take swords. They didn't have to bull rush. They just asked. And God prepared the way for them. I declare that 2017 will be a year when you have need in your life. All you have to do is ask God, and He'll begin to move on your behalf. All you have to do is call out to God. You're not going to have to go get a prayer chain, slap oil on everything you know. You're not going to have to sit in sackcloth and ashes, but because of the favor of God that is on you through relationship, when you ask for it, God's going to immediately do it for you, even in the face of your enemy. Hallelujah. Bring healing to your life. Touch your body. Bring financial blessing to you. But the favor came out of their obedience, and the favor came out of their obedience toward God. I read this, it gets me excited. Because God takes the sweat out. God takes the sweat out. And then there's an interesting passage. Turn over to Exodus 32. So here's what happened. God gave them gold and silver. He gave them remnant. They came out of Egypt, you remember? And they came out of Egypt, and all of a sudden they crossed the Red Sea. They dwelled in the wilderness. God led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the blessing of God was with them. This is chapter 32, but in chapter 21, God calls Moses up to the mountain to worship. And God begins to reveal to Moses all the things that He wants him to do in the children of Israel. He lays out every aspect of worship, every aspect of how they are to relate to God, every form of how they are to engage with God. Moses is getting instruction, and while they are there getting instruction, all of a sudden, you begin to look at this. Now, here they've been in slavery for 400 years, right? They've been away from Egypt for only 1 year. God gave them gold and silver. They left with the blessing of God. They literally plundered the Egyptians. Listen, their prayer was that God would bring them out, right? That God would bring them out. But I love God. And this is what I love about God. God doesn't bring you out. He brings you out better than when you went in. Hallelujah. Their prayer was just to step out. But God said, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not just going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you out with gold and silver. I'm going to bring you out with more than you've ever had. I'm going to bring you out with the blessing of God that is so overflowing in your life. You can't but not say it was God that brought you out. And when God brings you out in 2017, and when God brings you out in your life, He's not just going to heal you, but He's going to fulfill His destiny in your life. He's not just going to give you a job, but He's going to give you a job that's going to be more than what you need. Because when God brings us out, He don't bring us just bring us out. He gives us more than what we need. And the blessing of God, the favor of God. Listen, when we pray for God to do something in this ministry or do something among us, God's not just going to do what we ask for. He's going to do far and above what we ask for. Huh? How many would say in 4 years God has done far above what we would have asked for in these 4 years? Huh? That's what you're going to give God? That's the clap you're going to give God? That's the clap. That's the clap you're going to give God. Huh. He's a good God. Do you realize what He has done? The favor of God that some of you have walked in? I would be shouting from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed. Because God has been so, so good to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God you're not just a church on some street corner in some grocery store just making it week to week hoping that something's going to happen. He gave you 13, 12, 10, 11 acres. Built you a nice facility. In 4 years, folks. I said 4 years. You don't have what some churches have in 20 years. Woo! And so here in chapter 32, Here's what happens. If I can find it. In verse 32, beginning verse, let's just begin in verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming from the mountain, remember 10 chapters earlier he went up to worship. The people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up here out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Verse 2, "And Aaron said to them, break off the gold earrings which are on your ears and your wives and your sons and your daughters. Bring them to me. So all the people broke off the gold earrings which were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and he fashioned it with an graving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, and that's what brought you out of the land of Egypt." They had been out of Egypt for 1 year, and God had put gold and silver in their hands. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, where did the children of Israel get the gold and silver to build that golden calf? They got it from the blessing of God. And they took the blessing of God and they fashioned it into something that God never intended it to be fashioned into. They took the gold and they took the blessing and favor of God and was now being used to make an idol. Now the favor of God is taking a shocking form. A blessing that has come upon them. The blessing that was on their life has now taken the form of hooves and tails and horns. Thank God he has put in your hands. And all of a sudden, what he put in their hands, they are now molded into something that they're worshiping. They began, now they're worshiping the gold that God gave them instead of worshiping the God that gave them the gold. The danger of favor and blessing in our lives is that we can take for granted what God has done and begin to worship what he's put in our hands instead of worshiping the God that has put it there. The danger for us as God's favor and blessing comes on your life and my life is to take what he's put in our hands and to mold it into something that God has never intended it to be in our life. Second question, what did you receive as a result of God that is now keeping you from God? What you received as a result of God is now keeping you from God. Is there anything that you have received from God that is now keeping you from God? See, part of the problem is with favor and blessing on people's life is that sometimes God blesses them so much, but what he blesses them with now keeps them from God. Now their bills are paid, so there's no need to cry at the altar anymore and call out to God. They have everything they need, and God has worked their situation out, so there's no need to worship him or serve him anymore because he has already met their needs. And so what all of a sudden God did for them, now they begin to worship a job more than they worship God. They begin now to worship the breakthrough more than they worship the God that gave them the breakthrough. And so this morning we have to understand God has given us favor and put great blessing in our hands, but what are we going to mold it into? I'm going to take the blessing of God and take the blessing of God and use it for what he has given us for. I'm not going to mold it into something that I worship as an idol or something that I use that pulls and attracts me away from God. And what happens is corporately and individually, God can bless you with something and all of a sudden that thing can be turned around and be a deterrent to what God wants to do. All of a sudden, people start getting a large crowd, so the preacher stops preaching the way he should be preaching because he don't want to lose the large crowd. So the favor of God came on them, and all of a sudden they began to have an impact in the community, but he didn't want that, so he just stopped preaching what he should be preaching because he began to love the attention of the crowd more than he loved the God that opened the door for the crowd. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And what happens is in churches is we get so blessed and blessing comes and God sends us strategic people in our lives and put people in our lives, and all of a sudden we begin to worship, and so we begin to put more emphasis on what God has given us instead of putting an emphasis on God himself. And we've got to go into 2017 and not let what God has given us to be a precursor that we begin to worship what God has given us instead of worshiping God. Some people go to church and they go to church for what they offer. They go just because the worship is good. That's why I go there, because the worship is good. I go there because I know people. I go there because mom and daddy make me go there. I go there because of this one's there, or that one's there. And they don't go because they have conviction. They go because they feel a sense of loyalty to that thing which they worship an idol. You hearing me this morning? I'm not mad. I'm happy. But I'm telling you, if God's going to take the blessings of God in this church, we cannot prop them up like idols and make gold out of them and put them on the front and say, look what we have done. Look what we have accomplished. This is what you need. You need to bow to what we've done more than you need to bow to the God who has done it for us. Hallelujah. To get to the place to where we serve the God who has done it for us instead of. And so when I look at this and look at this pay, look at the Egyptians and see, they molded what God had given them and they melted that metal down. What God had taken, given them from their enemy, they began to melt it into an idol. And they forgot that all that was given to them was a blessing from God. When we see the barriers of God is allowing us, is keeping us from the cross. And when we see that all of a sudden these barriers are now becoming barriers because we have allowed them to be barriers in our life and not use the blessing of God in a proper way. David said this in Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Forget none of His benefits." Nothing we have is a result of ourselves, but is a result of God. And see, what is normal to some people isn't a miracle to others. I began thinking about this, and my mind went back to a pastor friend of mine who pastors down in Kentucky. And in his church, he has a little Chinese lady that's in his church. And she's not no bigger, taller than that jar, or much taller. And she sits in the corner on the front row, in the corner of his church, and she sits over there. And man, I'm telling you, when worship begins, she starts dancing, she starts twirling, she's in her own little world. And she is just worshiping. She is lost in the things of God. I asked him one day, I said, "Man, that lady can worship. I love watching that lady." He said, "You know, I've gotten more complaints out of that lady than anything since I've been here as a pastor. People are offended at the way that she worships and the way she seeks God." She said, "But here's what people don't know. People don't know her story. She grew up in Red China. And the church, when she got saved, the missionary led her family to the Lord. And they hid from the government in the basements to worship God. They had to talk with a whisper. They had to listen to worship with headphones. They could not sing worship songs. And they had to seek God in basements and hide from the government. She wasn't allowed to live what she believed out front. She wasn't allowed to have the liberty. Why? Because it was all kept in under the communism of what was taking place in her life. But what happened was she was a school teacher and the government, she found favor with the government. And the government called her in one day and said, "Listen, we want to send you to America as an ambassador and a representative of our schools. And we want you to go there and represent us. And while you're there, we want you to learn their education, so learn this and learn that. And we're going to pay for it. We're going to buy you a house. We're going to set you up." Listen, she found favor with a communist government. And when she got here, the first thing she did was find a church. Why? Because she knew that the chains had been broken off of her. And so when she gets the music starts playing on Sunday morning, she has a lot different perspective than we do on Sunday morning. Because she knows what it's like not to be free to worship. She knows what it's like to have to hide to serve God. So if you get offended at the way that she worships, you're just going to have to get all over it, sweetheart. Because she is free. And for the first time in her life, she can serve God with liberty and freedom. Hallelujah. And we have to be careful before we begin to judge someone's life and how they serve God, because you don't know the story behind everything they have walked through. You don't know the hell they've been through. And maybe they feel a little bit of freedom in their life and they feel grateful for what God has done. Why? Because God took what the enemy had, put it in her hands as a blessing. And she said, I'm not going to waste this opportunity. I'm going to use it to glorify God. When God gives you blessing, it's not for you to turn it into an idol, but for you to lift it up and say, God, this thing will honor you in all that I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you will turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 28, I want to show you something this morning as we get ready to close. I did not feel like preaching this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. I'm telling you, here in Acts 28, there's an interesting thing that's happening in Paul's life. Paul understood what it was like. He understood what it was like to have the favor and blessing of God on his life. The end of Acts 27, the Bible said that Paul was on a ship. That ship began to wreck. He was put on the ship, not by his will, but those men who were taking him to Rome to stand before Caesar. Paul's on the ship. Paul told them when they sailed, he said, don't sail. You're not wise to sail. They did not listen to him. They didn't listen to the man of God. So they got in a storm. And the ship began to break apart. Things began to go chaotic. They began to abandon the ship, throw things off. And for 2 weeks they were in a storm. And in the midst of that, the Lord spoke to Paul. And now Paul was a prisoner when he entered that ship. But if you look at the end of chapter 27, Paul not only wasn't the prisoner on the ship, he was running the ship. Ha ha! That's the favor of God. He entered the ship as a prisoner, but by the time they got to Malta, he was running the ship. That's just like what God does. Puts you in a situation where it looks bleak and all of a sudden His favor elevates you to a place to where all of a sudden you're running what God sent you there to serve. Paul got up and said, hey, you're not going to die on this ship. He said, you know why? I'm on here. And God's got a destiny for me. This thing ain't going down because God told me I've got a destiny. And if you've got the favor of God on your life, you can speak like that. Paul got into Acts 28 and all of a sudden he gets in there. Listen, don't let God's blessing take another form in your life. How do we walk? How do we walk with the favor of God's blessing? How do we walk with it? How do we walk with the blessing and favor of God? Favor and blessing of God will get you through the storm. You want to come out of 2016, the favor and blessing of God is what brought you out. Paul's on this ship, Acts 28, beginning in verse 1. That when they had escaped, they had found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us an unusual kindness. And they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because the rain was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. Any of y'all ever been snake bit? I had one time. It was a gardener snake. I felt like I had to go to the emergency room. Because I didn't know what it was as a kid, and I thought it released poison in me and I was going to die. It was about that long. But listen to me, those of you in 2016, you've been snake bit. You've been going about the will of God, and the enemy has come out and snapped at you, took hold of you, tried to kill you, destroy you, take from you, latched on to you. And you've taken that serpent that has bit you, and you're like, God, why is this happening to me? Oh, but when the favor and blessing of God is on your life, that snake bite doesn't have any effect on you. It said that when it bit him, all of a sudden, the natives saw the creature hanging off his hand and said one to another. Now, the word natives here is not just like natives like, woo, you know, with spears and arrows and war paint. It means the common folk of the city. It means the people. And here's what you don't know about Malta. Malta really was a spiritual city. It was a religious city. There was a lot of religious people that lived there. And really what's happening here is Paul is all of a sudden people are diagnosing his trial. It's a bunch of religious people diagnosing his trial. I hate religious people. I hate people that always want to judge people for what they're going through, what they're walking through. What did they say? Religious people begin to say, listen, religious people love it when you fail. That's what religious people do. They sit back and say, ah, they're not going to make it. Ah, they step out for God, but they're not going to make it. Ah, I told you that should have happened to it. They deserved it. They deserved that to happen to them. Oh, that church down the street is not going to make it. Religious people don't like the blessing of God. And religious people always want to see people fail. Listen, if you're ever going to move in the things of God, you have to get over people that are always going to want to see you not make it or fail. And it said in verse 6, and they waited for what? They waited for him to swell up. Let me tell you what your enemy is doing. He's waiting for you to swell up. He saw you got bit in 2016, and he's waiting for you to quit. They're waiting to watch you. Your family's watching you. People are watching you. They're waiting for you to quit. They're waiting for you to give up on God. They're waiting for you to walk away from Christianity. They're waiting for you to walk away from everything that God has so they can sit back and say, I told you so. I told you that was them. I told you they were like that. And they sit and they waited for them to swell up. And I want to tell your enemy wants you to swell up. Your enemy and fall dead. But I want to tell you the favor, blessing of God and the blood of Jesus can make you immune to the snake bite. All of us are going to get snake bite. But I'm telling you there is a blood that is running through you. There is an immunity to the snake bite in your life. When you tithe, there is an immunity to the snake. When you pray, there's an immunity to the snake bite. When you worship, there's an immunity to the snake bite. When you quote the word of God, there's an immunity to the snake bite. When you worship, there's an immunity to the snake bites. And what's going to get you through 2016 into 2017 is that when you find the favor and blessing of God, the blood that runs in you will make you immune to the snake bite that has hit you. Hallelujah. How do you walk out the favor and blessing of God? Number one, like Paul, you are grateful. They're waiting for you to swell up. Listen, I've been snake bit. But I want to tell you, I'm grateful what did not happen that should have happened. Huh? How many are grateful that when the enemy snake bit you, that what should have happened didn't happen? Woo! That what the enemy wanted to do didn't happen. Aren't you glad when you messed up and you made a mistake in your life and you stepped out of the will of God and you were out of the will of God and you got snake bit because you made bad decisions in your life? Aren't you thankful that what should have happened to you didn't happen to you? Aren't you grateful that you should have lost your job? You should have lost your mind. You should have lost your family. You should have lost your home. You should have lost your life, but the favor of God was on you. And even though you were snake bit, what should have happened to you didn't happen to you. Why? Because the blessing and favor of God was on you, and you escaped the consequences because you were a worshiper and you were trusting God and stayed with it and never gave up, and God brought you through. Hallelujah! It's all right to be snake bit. Woo! Paul should have died. He should have died. He should have died. He should have swelled up. He should have died. But he didn't. And what should have happened didn't happen, praise God. Woo! Man, when I think of that, when I think about when I was before I came to Jesus, when I think about what God has, I know I got to, when I think about where He brought me from, when I think about the bad decisions I made, when I think about the trouble I walked into and God opened the door for me to walk out, what should have happened didn't happen. Why? Because God's favor was on me. I didn't deserve it, but He gave it to me anyway. And many of you are sitting here this morning and the favor of God is on you. You didn't deserve it, but He gave it to you anyway. Woo! Hey! Hallelujah! I've got family members still waiting for me to swell up. Still waiting for me to fall over dead. It's just a fad in Shane's life. Just one of those other things he jumps into and doesn't finish and doesn't get out of. Snake bite. He can't be a preacher. He's not smart enough. Snake bite. He can't do what God's called him to do. He's undisciplined. Snake bite. It's been 30 years, baby, and they're still waiting for me to swell up. I'm telling you, I've got blood running through me that is an anti-venom to the devil. He may bite me, but I'm coming through on the other side. Yeah! Quit letting a snake bite determine who you are. Be grateful for what God has done. Be grateful for the goodness of God. Be grateful for the goodness of God. Y'all listening to too many Egyptians. Really. That's what the children of Israel did. It says in verse 12 of chapter 12, or one of those chapters, I don't know. It said when Moses went up on the mountain, it said, this is what they said. They said, well, he's gone up there. He ain't ever coming back. This is what the Egyptians said. This is what they commanded. This is what they spoke. It said, why? This is God said, he told Moses, he said, as I look down, why should the Egyptians be able to speak to the children of Israel? There were Egyptians that came out of them with Egypt, and all of a sudden, the man of God is gone for a season, and all of a sudden, they're trying to dictate. Somebody, quit letting the Egyptians speak to you about your blessing and your favor. Quit letting the Egyptians determine what the gifting is on your life. Quit letting the Egyptians determine whether you're going to serve God or not serve God, or tell you what you can do or what you can't do. Stop listening to the Egyptians and start listening to God, because the favor of God is on you. Quit letting them talk you into building idols in your life. The gold and silver is for you to serve God with. He gives you the gift to sing, it's to serve God with. He's giving you the gift to preach, it's to serve God with. If He's giving you the gift to have business, it's to serve God with. If He's giving you the gift to be a mother, it's to serve God with. Stop letting the Egyptians and this world dictate to us who we are. Woo! They're looking. They're waiting on you to swell up. It's all fun in Jesus when we first get saved. Rose petals and Woo, euphoria. Woo, Jesus. La la land of heaven on earth. And then the snake bite comes. And everybody around you goes, let's see how they handle this. The problem is some of you give in to the Egyptians and they say, see, I told you that's what they were going to do. But God's looking for some people that can be snake bit, but yet take the favor and blessing of God and take what's happened to them and turn it around for their good. Yeah, I know he bit me. I know I got bit. I know I failed. But I turned this thing around. And what used to be a chain on me is no longer a chain. It's the favor of God. I'm no longer chained, but I'm setting people free who are chained. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Whew. Gratefulness helps you walk in the favor and blessing of God. Second of all, to keep the favor and blessing of God, you have to believe what you know, not what the enemy says. Whew. You can't believe what the enemy says. They said Paul should have died. But look at this. Listen to what they said. They said, the Bible says they conversed with one another and said, this man's a murderer. This man's a murderer. Where'd they get that? Has anybody ever been falsely accused of something? Have you ever heard something about yourself and thought, man, is that me? Really? They called him a murderer. They called him a murderer. They called him a murderer, and Paul wasn't going to let what they said become his reality. You can't let what people say about you become your reality. Amen. When you listen to Egyptians, you're letting what people say about you become the reality of your life. What they think cannot become what your destiny is. What people say cannot become your destiny. What did Paul do? Paul took the serpent and he shook it off. Shook it off. Just take your right hand and just shake it off. 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 Let me tell you. They called Paul a murderer. Moments before, he was a living epistle. Now he's a murderer. Paul shook it off. He went through the storm and he went through the snake bite. The first thought is he's a devil. And all of a sudden, Paul said, you know what? I'm going to live through this. And the reason I'm going to live long enough to change your mind about me. And so when Paul didn't die, they said what? Now he's not a murderer. He must be a god. Let me tell you what I've determined in my life. I may get snake bit. And people may have opinions about me. Or they may think about, or they have had opinions about me. Or they've miscalculated my motives. But I'm here to tell the devil I'm going to live long enough to change people's minds about who I am in Christ. And you have to determine, hey, I'm going to live long enough that people who were once against me are going to be for me because they're going to see what God has done in my life. God is going to turn things around for you. And that which people thought of you was one thing and one season of life, God is going to change it into another season. And what they said about you before, they won't say anymore because they've seen you come through the storm and they see the hell that you have fought. They'll say, if that could not kill them, then something must be in their life that keeps them alive. I want to tell you, when I got saved, the first 5 to 10 years of my life around the people I love was literal hell. I mean, they made fun of me. They didn't think I was going to be a they didn't think I was going to make it. They didn't think I'm telling you, they said it. They just carried on. I was the butt of every joke. I was made fun of. They mocked me. He's not smart enough to preach. He's not smart enough to pass. He's not this. Yeah, I mean, I was. But I want to tell you, I said, God, if you'll get me through it, I'm telling you, I'll live long enough to prove every one of them wrong. because you are directing my life. They're not directing my life. I couldn't listen. Listen, if I would listen to the snake bite and listen to what they said, I would have quit a long time ago. But there's something that God puts in people of faith who say, I'm going to live through the storm. I'm going to live through the snake bite. I'm going to make it and come out on the other side. I'm going to live long enough for God to change their mind about me. Hallelujah. That's all right. Every member of my family, I've won to the Lord. But my father, and I got a sister. I'm here to tell you, what they used to curse, now they embrace. And it's not me, but it's the God that worked in me. They took the blessing of God, and God became my mouth. Listen, God will turn it around for you. And use it. Guess who they call when they need prayer? Huh? Guess who does all of their funerals? Shows up at all their crazy dedications to pray over their new houses and all the things they get. Guess who they're calling? Who they made fun of before. All of a sudden now, they want a little bit of what God and the blessing of God. Whew. God's going to break somebody through. 2017, the favor and blessing of God is about to change somebody's mind about you. God's going to shift something in your life. I came to tell you, because of the destiny that God has for you, whatever season that you might be in right now that God has you in, whatever ship you're on, let me tell you, things may be falling apart. You may have sailed in here on a piece of driftwood this morning. You may have just made it. You may have just got here. But I want to tell you, He will deliver you through until He can deliver you to. There's a destiny for you. He'll deliver you through it until He can deliver you to it. Amen. And some of you floated in here on driftwood. You've come out of 2016 and the ship you were on has been wrecked. And your life feels like it's just floating like this. But the fact that you made it in here is the fact that God's favor is on your life. The fact that it didn't kill you. The fact that you woke up today. The fact that you got a new set, a chance. The fact that His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe the enemy is attacking your gift and your authority. Maybe he's attacking your rightful place in the body. Maybe, Adam, would you come? Maybe he's attacking your finances and attacking your family. Maybe he's attacking your destiny. Maybe. You know what I found it amazing? When Paul was on that ship and that thing was getting ready to fall apart, you know what Paul did? He had communion. You know, you can have the peace of God, that you could be walking through a storm and walking through a difficult time and still have the peace of God in your life. Stand with me this morning if you would. Here's what I came to tell you. Here's what I came to tell you. I want you to listen to me. This is what I came to tell you today. I came to tell you that the favor and blessing of God is on you. But I came to tell you, hear me. When things get tight and the snake bites, 2017, this is what I want you to do. You ready? When the snake bites, when you get a phone call, when you have a confrontation, when you find something out that's not in your favor, when you get a bad report, what I want you to do is I want you just to stand up. Shake it off. Just shake it off. Come on, just shake it off. Come on, shake 2016 off. Come on. Shake it off. I'm not swelling up. And I'm not going to fall dead. Because I'm going where God wants me to be. He'll get me through it until He can get me to it. Hallelujah! 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 Give God a great big clap offering. Come on, give Him some praise. Hallelujah! 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 Now I want everyone to come down to this altar that can. Come on, listen. Come on, Dan, what are y'all afraid of? I'm not going to hurt you. You know what? I'm not going to touch you. I know I'm sick. I ain't sick now. I feel pretty good. I'm going to go get me a cheeseburger or something. Come on, I want some shake it off people to come down around this altar. Give me some shake it off people. Hey, William, people waited for you to fail, son. People was waiting. They said, he ain't going to make it. They're just waiting for you to fail so they can say, I told you so. I'm here to tell you God is going to turn that thing around. What the enemy has tried to use as a deterrent, it's going to be the favor of God that's going to... And what should have happened won't happen. It's coming, my friend. And it's going to lift off of you. And that worry about it is going to lift off of you. And the peace of God is going to come on you. And on your family. Y'all been snake bit in 2016. But you got here. And you may have got in on some driftwood, but you're here. It's a sign that God's got you here. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Just both of you lift your hands. Holy Spirit, fill with your Holy Ghost right now. Holy Ghost. Hey, Ray, just lift your hands. Shake it off. Mona's healed. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. She should have been gone a long time ago. But God touched her. Woo. Lift your hands. Just shake it off. That's it. Just shake it off, my brother. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. Catherine, you and Sam hold hands. Step up here. I don't want to get you sick, so... Right there. Right there. When I was praying and preparing for this message, you came to my mind. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. For 2 years, a snake has just bit and bit and bit and bit on y'all's lives. Because your destiny is so great. I've never seen any more energetic people in life than you two. And the enemy's whispering to you, you're going to swell up. You're going to swell up. You're not going to make it. You're going to fall dead any moment. I'm here to declare life. You got many more years left. This is not the end. It's just starting. It's just starting. You're not done. You don't have to think about quitting or retiring or feeling not having the energy to do. God is going to infuse you with a power. And there's going to be an anointing that comes on both of you. And you will do more in your latter years than you've done in the years before. Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Just shake it off. Shake it off. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. Bill, would you hold June's hand? You already are. What a man. That's what many years of marriage will do. Draw you closer. There's been such favor on your life, Bill and June, over the years. And because y'all are here and, you know, you come and... But the favor of God that is on your life is far beyond what many people know in this congregation. For years, the preservation of God has been on both of you. And there's going to be a resurgence of strength that's going to come in you. And God's going to give you dreams and visions, and I want you to write them down. They're going to pertain to people that you come in contact with. And I want you to write them down. I want you to pray. And that strength that God gives you is going to be for intercession and prayer. It's going to be for encouragement to people's lives. You two are the most encouraging people I've ever been around. And there's been times life has snake bitten you. But you're still here. And you're still serving God. Father, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, I pray the blessing of God on Bill and June. I pray the coming years will be so powerful in their life that the testimony of God will be so strong. I pray, God, that there will be no sickness or nothing that would come nigh to them that would keep them from all that you have for them. I pray a re-energizing in their prayer life and thought life. And God, I pray that Bill will have such energy, he'll feel like walking 2 miles instead of 1 mile. He'll feel like running on that treadmill 2 hours instead of 30 minutes. I pray, God, their strength will be so strong, people will comment and say, how in the world do you have the energy to do what you do? And their testimony will be, there is a God we serve. There is a God who is our strength. He is our strength. And you'll renew them like the eagle's wings. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. And they will soar and rise above everything that becomes an obstacle in their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's the year of the breakthrough. It's a new season. Everyone lift your hands and let's pray. Now after we pray, I want you all to go back to that song, Breakthrough. And I want to leave here singing that song, Breakthrough, today. But everyone lift your hands. And as you lift your hands, the blessing and favor of God is going to come on you just like it's come on this church. Take that blessing. And don't be like the children of Israel and use it to build an idol. But use it for God to open doors for you in favor. Father, I thank you right now for this church. I thank you for the blessing of God. I thank you for life that you're building in each of these that are here today. And Lord, 2017 is going to be a year of great testimony, a year of great prosperity. It's going to be a year, God, that we will look back on and say it was revolutionary to this body. We're going to give more. We're going to participate more. We're going to touch hearts more. We're going to outreach more. We're going to do more than we've ever done. And we're not going to lose energy. We're not going to lose strength. Matter of fact, it's going to be such a momentum that hell won't be able to stop it. And I'm telling you, there's those that looked at us and said, we're just waiting for them to swell up. We're just waiting for that church to die. We're just waiting for them to quit. We're just waiting for them to have a breakup or to have some type of tragedy or some type of thing to destroy that church. Well, I'm telling you, they can think it all they want. There is a God that has given us favor and blessing, and we will walk in everything that God has for us. I pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, give God a great big clap. Come on, let's sing that. Come on, sing this. Shake it up! Hallelujah! Come on, sing it with us. Come on, shake it off this morning. Yes!
You are my life
and my salvation. With the wicked enemy, I fall on me. My flesh, he stumbled at me.